Chapter 1. The Attic. Victor Hamblin sat in his easy chair, one gnarled hand locked on a claw armrest, the other holding, none too steady, a glass of sherry in a cut crystal glass. No matter that the size of the pour seemed minuscule. Victor had other supplies stashed around this drafty castle of a home. That is, if he could remember where. Then, peeking into the living room, the always cheerful face of Hope, his oh-so-tolerant carer and nurse. "I'm off now, Mr. Hamblin. See you bright and early." The sound of her footsteps echoed off the cold stone flags, and then he heard the heavy front door slam shut. He was alone now. He supposed there would come a time when he'd need someone to actually get him to bed, but at 91, amazingly, he wasn't quite there yet, and he'd do his best to postpone that final indignity. He took a sip of sherry. Nice. Not the best, but he could scarcely afford anything near the best, not these days. But as he often said in his younger days while sipping an inferior gin and tonic at the Raj Club, it was drinkable. Of course, back then anything was drinkable, save for the water, which could quite literally kill you. That and any uncooked food. Had things changed in India? Sometimes he thought about what it was like today. India, the place of his youth, now supposedly an economic powerhouse, while the not-so-great Britain muddled along. Another sip. Half gone. Simple pleasures. That's what a sherry was. That and one's memories. The grandfather clock in the hallway bonged. Still worked, though it had a tendency to lose a few minutes every day. Still that deep, throaty sound. Another simple pleasure. And with one last sip, he shakily put the glass down. The seat of the chair was high, padded with extra cushions, so he could more easily push himself to a standing position. Two hands on the armrests and... success. And then Victor Hamblin began a slow navigation to the staircase. It had been years since he'd actually climbed the great staircase. Going up now would be hard without the ugly contraption that Hope had insisted must be purchased. "Those children of yours, you get them to pay, Mr. Hamblin," she had scolded. "It isn't decent you struggling like this." And in due course, after the usual bickering, the machine had been installed. Hope had seemed most nervous about leaving him alone to do this part, but when he demonstrated that he could slide onto the seat of the electric chair and fasten the belt to hold him steady for the ride up, she agreed to depart before he was safely ensconced in his bed. Now, strapped in good and tight, he hit a button, and with a whirring noise the chair began ferrying him upstairs. "I could probably do the stairs," he thought, "if I was having a good day or night." Thing is, he never knew whether he'd be having a good day or night. The foolish stair lift was at least dependable. Riding up, Victor had a good view of the family paintings, all layered with dust on the frames, the paint peeling in places, the colours gloomy with age, a sullen generations of Hamblins from a rosier economic time still found things to scowl about. The chair stopped and turned slightly so that Victor could unstrap and slip off. And as he did, he turned on a floor lamp in the hallway. He found himself only using the lamp these days rather than the large overhead lights to avoid jacking up his already frightening electricity bill. As most nights, the thought of a quick visit to his bathroom and then sliding under the covers grew ever more appealing with each step. He slept with the light on. For some reason, it didn't keep him awake at all, and that was even without an eye shade. The soft yellow light on the bedside lamp made the gloomy bedroom seem almost warm, even with its tattered carpet yellowing antimacassars sitting on a quite uncomfortable armchair, and the ceiling-high windows that looked over the dark path that led from the village road to the circle just outside the house, now already covered by falling leaves. Care of the grounds, that too had been let go, with only the minimum being done. A once-a-month visit by the groundkeeping company was all Victor could afford. "Oh, well," he thought, "not that I ever get out there. then a flash of humour. He could always make people laugh, and even himself, and he thought, "Don't get any leaves inside here." He smiled at that, and then felt himself begin to drift off to sleep. But that drifting, in the soft yellow light of the room, was interrupted, as if he was sliding down a velvety slope before something pulled him short. It was a smell. He sniffed, as if that could dispel the odour. But it only made the smell seem stronger, and he opened his eyes, realising with a rush what the smell was. Fire. Something burning. And now he struggled to sit up, pushing himself to look around the bedroom. Nothing here, no fire here, but somewhere in this great house there was a fire. He reached for the oversized mobile phone with a big keypad that was always by his bedside. He pressed a button, as he had done before on those other times. A voice. Then, "It's Victor Hamblin in Cheringham. You know Mogden Manor and..." "Yes, Mr. Hamblin, we can see it's you. Is there a problem?" "Yes, a fire. We're on our way. Can you get out of the house?" He nodded, not realising for the moment that a nod couldn't be heard, because he wasn't thinking of the words being said. He suddenly had only one thought. He let the phone slide from his fingers, the dispatcher's voice fading as it hit the rumpled sheets, and Victor Hamblin struggled out of bed, even forgetting his slippers as he started for the hall.